Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
I can't see the way you shake and shiver. Now we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo, be ready for your act. We don't know that. And Scooby-Doo, you come with your guy. Have yourself a Scooby snack. Scooby-Doo, here are you. Catch that villain.
Mike Zoink Scoop, that's no gorilla.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. In the room is Steve Silva.
Where?
Amber Ashby Carey. Producer Zach.
Hi, how are you?
Intern Christopher.
Over there, and up there.
And, of course, I am Sean Roberts, your host. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And as always, we're streaming to you live from Orange County this morning and every Saturday morning. And hello, Delmarva Radio on the East Coast.
Woo! Good morning, you guys. Yes. Thank you for joining us today as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, then you have tuned into the right podcast because we are the only ones who continue on with their amazing radio traditions.
And for those who have recently followed us, thank you for joining our family. We are so glad you listened to the show. That makes it worthwhile.
Absolutely, man. Well, we got a fun-filled packed day for you guys. Unfortunately, we have to keep it a little bit short because Amber needs to leave a little early, but that's okay. No problem at all. But we'll be catching up with each other. We got Paul Preston in talking about Cobra Kai. We got a beer talk with Mike and Kay. We're talking about the top haunted cities in the U.S.
No!
The most expensive comic books.
No!
Top 10 one-hit wonders by VH1. And then we have a special guest. We're actually going to be calling Shamu the Whale.
I'm so excited for this one.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Oh, Shamu.
So don't forget, guys, you can also interact with the show by commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely, Sean. And not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe, you guys, through iTunes, iHeartRadio. Those are our two most important ones. You can also go to Stitcher Radio. And, of course, Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, guys, rate and review the show after you hit subscribe on iTunes and iHeart.
Very important.
Very important for us.
Absolutely. And, of course, our theme song today was the Scooby-Doo theme by the great Matthew Sweet. If you have not heard of him, great rock and roll.
Matthew Sweet. I just never had heard him do this.
Isn't it? It's cool, though.
I love Matthew Sweet.
It's very cool. Absolutely. And, of course, you can get all of the music that we play here on Amazon.com. Remember, do all your shopping on Amazon to help us because it helps when you shop with them, it helps keep us on the air. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the banner, and bookmark it. That's the most important thing. And then do your shopping to your heart's content, especially getting the music of Mr. Matthew Sweet.
Oh, so, love him.
Great singer, great guitar player, really nice guy.
Fun version of that, too.
It is.
I haven't heard that song in I don't know how long.
You want to hear it again?
No.
Okay.
Let's go on. Scooby-Doo. Okay, fine.
We got some work to do now.
We all know the words.
Yeah.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
I saw
you.
Oh, wrong one.
We need some help from you now.
I was never a huge Scooby-Doo fan.
I see you.
You know why?
I'll have whatever he's having, Scoob.
Because the ghosts and ghouls were never real.
Yeah.
And I always bummed me out. I was like, damn it, when is one of these things going to be actually real?
We got a mystery.
They did become real in Mystery Incorporated.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
They changed a little bit there.
Mystery Incorporated is my favorite version.
I haven't seen the new one. I've caught part of it.
Was that the island they went out to?
What?
Mystery Incorporated. I'm not too sure. I think it's a little bit different one.
I did love that one, like Fire Island.
The, you know what? The movies were really good though too. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a great job on those.
Yeah.
But also, there's a new one right now out where it's animation and it has like the Blue Falcon in it with Dino-Mutt, and it shows how Shaggy and Scooby met.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. It's simply just called Scoob.
Scoob, okay. I'll look for it maybe.
And it shows the kids when they were younger and how they all met with each other and everything and so forth.
How adorable.
So
our good friend Quentin Flynn, he actually has been in a few Scooby-Doo movies.
Has he really?
Yeah, yes.
What voice Quentin did he do?
There was one, I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry, but there was one he was playing kind of like a manager for like a British rock band. It was some kind of ghoul. Mm-hmm. God, I can't remember. It was called like the Rock Ghoul or something like that. But yeah, he was the manager for this ghostly musician
in his famous British accent. Yeah, he does it really friggin' well.
Actually, yeah. He sounds more like this, darling.
I still have
it. Yeah. What's really funny though, if you get a chance, go on YouTube, and our friend, we've had him on the show. We haven't been quite some time, though. But Mr. Eric Harthen.
Eric Harthen, okay.
Go on YouTube, look up Eric Harthen, Scooby-Doo, Mark in the Morning. It is hysterical. He does a great and fabulous, not only Scoob, but Shaggy.
Okay.
I mean, he sounds like Casey Kasem. There it is there, yeah.
Which one? The fourth one?
Yeah. Let's play it real quick.
Mark in the Morning, good to have you. Chick on the streets out there. My daughter Amy just arrived. We'll speak with her momentarily. But as you know, for every commercial that KLOS plays, I'm going to personally donate $1 to SPCALA to help dogs, not cats, because they're terrible and indifferent and undeserving of my affection. But dogs.
How dare you?
Terrible and indifferent?
We have one of the dogs that my money is hopefully going to benefit and his best friend, Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Mark. It's an honor and a privilege.
I didn't really catch all that, Scooby.
Like he said, thanks for having us, Mark. It's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, my God.
Okay, cool. I appreciate you translating
for
me,
Shaggy. That's amazing.
Like, for sure. Nobody understands Scoob like I do. Ruby dooby doo.
I think you played this for me.
I've actually haven't heard
okay,
this.
Okay, so Scooby, KLOS is sure to play a ton of commercials, which means more cash for SPCALA. What sort of things are you going to buy with my money?
I'm going to buy a shiny new collar. Like he said, he's going to buy a new vaporizer, Mark.
I'm not sure that's right. Huh? He's going to spend my money on a marijuana smoking device?
Like, wow, I'm just translating, Mark. Give me a break.
Okay. Well, what else are you going to buy, Scooby?
A brand new water bowl. He said one of those animatronic sex dolls. I did not say that. Well, maybe he looks like Daphne, or he'd even settle for one that looks like Velma. It gets lonely in the mystery machine, Mark.
Right. Well, what else is on the list, Scooby?
Movie snacks. Penile enhancement surgery. What?
All right, Shaggy, that's enough. It's obvious that you plan to steal Scooby's money and buy stuff for yourself, and that is a crime, Shaggy.
Oh, and I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling morning show personalities. What?
Thank you for calling, Scooby. We'll contact SPCALA to see if we can find you a better owner.
Thanks, Mark. Gooby dooby doo.
Hey, Eric.
Like, yeah.
You understand that this is what you do for a living, right?
This is what I do.
This is a new high water mark.
Yeah, high point here. I peak today. This is it.
Good stuff, Eric.
My mom is proud of me.
Oh, there you go. The great Eric Harthen, man.
Oh, my God.
And what's cool is that if you need, like, even, like, a simple recording on your answer machine or something like that or whatever,
yeah.
Go to Eric's website. He does all that stuff
That's
for
amazing.
You. He does the the best Trump impression also.
Really?
He does really good. Yeah. So go to his website. It's erichharthin.com. Check it out. Listen to all his stuff he's got on there. He does so many different voices. He's just really amazing.
I need to cash in on this concept.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Eric's great, though. I thought you would enjoy that.
Oh, you know what? You played that for me when I was auditioning for that that Warner Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, yeah, you played that for me, and I remember loving it.
Oh, that's right. You had the dialogue. I remember that.
I made it through pretty far, but then they wanted more. They wanted more technical person with, like, this ISDN.
ISDN line?
And it wasn't even that. It was this whole studio stuff. I was like, you guys, I can't commit to that. Like, yeah. It was like, okay. Hmm. Anyway, they weren't going to pay enough for me to, like, really go to all the trouble. So, anyways.
All right. Well, should we catch up?
Let's catch up.
Let's catch up, guys.
Let's do it.
Ruby, ruby, ruby.
Like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I think you need to work on that one.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about Eric is like, hey, Eric. Like, yeah. Steve, how was your week, buddy?
Two words. Lakers.
Yes.
Lakers.
Yeah, you came over a couple of nights.
Show. Yes, I did. I came over on Tuesday. Now, the Lakers won the first two games.
Right.
This is the conference finals, so if they win this, they go into the actual NBA finals.
That's Denver Nuggets, correct?
Yes,
right
they're
now
against,
they're
playing
the Nuggets. Yeah. And they won the first two games, and they lost Tuesday when I was over here.
Right.
It was too bad. But then on Thursday, they came back and won again, so they lead the series 3-1. And, you know, there's always that's really hard to come back from.
Right.
Anyway, they play.
Not for the Lakers.
Today at like 6 or something. If they win today, then they're in the finals.
Okay. Are you going to stay today then and watch it here?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Yeah, no, absolutely.
There we go. That was
thank
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
cool deal.
Cool. Anyway, that was. The highlight of my week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that was.
Yeah, and you had a good steak, too, when you came over Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, we had grilled steak, a little barbecue, and
went
it was
over,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, went over, picked him up, whatever, said, hey, you want to grab a steak? We're going to barbecue. It was like, okay.
All right.
So we went to Smart and Final. And,
really? Smart and Final? Yeah. You don't say.
Yeah. I wonder. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, you know, I've talked to the people at Smart and Final and also the people at Fresh and Easy.
Uh-huh.
And I want them to combine together and make a store that's
called. Oh, yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
Or Smart, what was it? Fresh and
Easy. Smart.
Fresh and Easy?
No, Fresh and Easy is what I was
thinking. Oh, it's Fresh and Smart, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I like, it's Fresh and Easy.
That's so funny.
Amber, how was your week?
Good, busy puppy kids school, but I had some really good news.
Yes.
My best, you guys met Graham. Graham's an incredible writer.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his sister have been writing a lot with a couple different amazing writers in LA and Nashville. COVID has made everybody kind of connect all over the country. You know?
Right.
They wrote this incredible comedy series. It's about young grade school or early junior high grade school things for her daughter Reese. Anyways. So I have a part in it that I landed a great role in it. And then Graham, when I landed it, Graham pumped it up for me, so my best friend wrote me my dream role, and
nice.
I can't say too much, but they are talking to.
So you're gonna be like 14 or 15?
No, I'm a teacher. I'm a lesbian teacher. That's kind of inappropriate.
Oh, perfect.
And everybody's taller than her, no matter what.
Inappropriate lesbian teacher who gets to rap and say very inappropriate things, and the kids are always correcting me, and I have crushes on some of the parents, some of the moms.
That's cool.
Anyway, so they're talking to Netflix right now, so they're in with the Netflix, which is really exciting. It's a big thing.
So that means we have to watch Gabriel Iglesias and his teacher sitcom, and then we have to switch over and watch your teacher sitcom.
Why not?
You know,
well, it's
two
not
great
about,
comedies.
It's not
I love
about
it.
Me. I'm just I have a role. It's about
we're going to make it about you.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not about me.
I mean, you can have a thing where you always you make fake parent-teacher conferences.
That is hilarious. That is funny.
That you can get the mom in.
I hope Graham and Amber, if they're listening. So,
there you go.
And then besides that, one really cool thing is that I'm convinced this man right here, this gentleman that is my twinkles, to go get headshots. So we are, and I'm going to go, and we're going to get headshots We're going to go do a headshot session.
Nice.
On Monday.
God, I'm going to feel so special.
And we're going shopping on Sunday. I'm going to go take him and style him up.
Yes.
Nice.
And
make him look official.
So that's happening. So he's getting his official headshots done by this amazing photographer.
Can you imagine me just becoming totally conceited?
How much is it going to cost you, though?
It's a good deal. Shush. It's a good idea.
Really?
I worked some things out. Now.
Include me in then.
Oh, gosh.
Because I need some updated ones.
And then some. Zach, what is up with you?
I'm just enjoying the fact that I'm going to be in Hollywood one day.
Yeah. Hollywood. Well, you know what? If you take the car, you can be there in half an hour.
There you go.
Hollywood. Let's go.
So parlay that onto, you know, your update.
Well, I guess it is official. I'm officially a employee of iHeartMedia.
Yeah!
About time. After about a month, 4 weeks of this? Yes.
Dude, yes, congratulations on that.
I knew it was official when I got my own email address. I went, oh, yeah.
Things are happening, baby.
That's how you know. So I guess the orientation for that is on Monday. And again, I've said we're doing this from home. So I'm not really sure. Well, the one thing I know for sure is that there's a program. It's kind of like what we do on here, that they do the traffic, weather, and broadcast from. So since I have a sub, it's funny when they have me do the first. It's called meetings. It's Microsoft's version of Zoom. They're like, can we see your setup? I'm like, sure. And I'm, you know, microphone you gave me,
right?
In exchange for a phone, which was the best transaction ever, along with my iMac and everything. Like, well, that'll do, but we need you to have a PC. And I'm like, God, I got to buy a PC laptop. I knew I was going to have to one day.
It's all right. So, now you get both.
So I dropped the bills on it, and I just went, all right, well.
What'd you get?
It's called a Chewy, believe it or not. I think it's a Chinese company, so I'm a little scared now.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see the keyboard.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I've already opened it. God. Wah, wah, wah. So as far as I know, just orientation's on Monday. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing, but I'm not even sure exactly when I start. I've just been filling out a bunch. Well, they'd be giving me links to different things on iHeartMedia and iHeartRadio to fill out and sign and background checks and social security numbers and IDs. And I had to be verified through a Zoom session. And it's pretty covert.
But that's cool, though, dude. I mean, here you are. I mean, after all the stuff that you've done so many years ago, you know, and then you
come in the music again.
You come in and you.
You do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You know, and then you step on.
Yes, tell me more about me.
With, and being our producer.
More about me.
You know, and you've done some great things here. Which have been fabulous.
The head's getting bigger.
And his voiceover reels. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
You know, with Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then now. Mm-hmm. He's with iHeartRadio.
He's getting headshots done. I'm submitting him to a bunch of different agencies, man.
This is one thing I love about our family.
I'm his manager right now. Can you tell?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm basically his manager and agent.
I'm very happy for you, Zach, and very proud of you also. You've come an awful long way for this, and I know this has been a dream of yours to get into radio.
Yeah, and by literally any means necessary, I was even willing to go down to scrub the toilets as long as it got me in the building, which is actually, wasn't Adam Carolla like a janitor or something for K-Rock or a custodian?
I don't know, but I know when we talked to Mark Thompson, though, on how he started, you know, it was where he said, okay, yeah, I'll sweep whatever around, and his first job was literally on Sunday mornings, to literally let the pastors in. Who were doing, you know, their air stuff on Sunday mornings.
Alabama.
Praise Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus is Lord.
Because, I mean, Mark is from Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
So that was his first job, was to, you know, let them in. And, of course, the station manager was family owned at that time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, don't let them in until they pay you. And so once they got...
Well, they asked for those favors, you know.
And once they got paid, you know... You know, Mark let him in, and then he would sweep around, clean up stuff, whatever, and then he would work on his demo reels.
Oh, wow.
And practice or whatever, because that would gave him the opportunity. And then once you were done, lock up, whatever.
I'm just picturing him right outside, inside the studio, the station doors, and it's locked, and he's looking at the pastors, and they're like, let me in. He's like, no, slide that money under the door, y'all. And
yeah.
It's all in ones and fives from the parishioners.
They're badly crumbled up, like they're shoved through there.
Yeah. And if you really want to listen to that.
Sweaty
to
the, with guilt.
And if you really want to listen to that interview with Mark, it's episode 53, I believe, with us. It was our 1 year anniversary.
Wow.
So it's
our episode. Okay.
Our episode 53. Okay. Yeah. Take a listen. It's really, really good.
Comes after 52.
Yes.
Alrighty then. So, Sean.
Real quick, yeah. Had a decent week. Actually, I performed again on Thursday.
How'd that go?
It went a little bit different. It went well. I tried a couple of new songs and everything. So, I think I'm going to take a week off, build up the repertoire a little bit more. But I'm listening to people and going, you know, they want to hear more country or more of this. So, I just need to grow my repertoire a little bit more. Kind of a thing.
Gotcha.
And but no, nah, man, I did another $50 in tips and everything, so wasn't bad at all.
I can't wait till we can come see you.
We should do it every night.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah, I'm ready to go, you know, for that. But I will
channeling my inner Shaggy. Uh-huh.
Well, I will tell you this though, standing on a asphalt floor. Because we're outside, it is really affecting my back, though.
You need a mat.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have those awesome mats you can get.
Yeah, I think we're going to jump on, I don't know, maybe our sponsor, Amazon.
Really?
And maybe order one of those little cushy things.
You get a mat with our logo on it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Don't forget to click our banner.
Or better yet, my logo
on it.
Shop on
Amazon. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, and I got to get new signs. I do have signs when I go out and do... house concerts and figured it out or whatever and what have you. I'm going, no, you know what? I need to get separate signs strictly for like the bars and stuff and what have you. So I got to design that and everything and turn those
in. So like, we're not talking about a conflict of interests here, are we?
No.
Everything kind of melds
because,
together.
See, I can always say that, you know, that the sponsor is Your Weekly Dose for Sean Roberts.
There you go.
There you go.
See,
there
you go.
This is what companies do all the time.
Two together. This
is
or the other way around.
Well, it's actually me out there.
Well, you could say I'm the sponsor.
Well,
I'm the artist.
Listen, basically,
Let's just make a shell company and in the Caribbean, and it's going to sponsor.
There you go.
Yes, there you go. I mean, that's what businesses do.
Have a Cayman account.
Right? Yeah, one in Delaware as a tax shelter. No big deal.
Called underarm flatulence.
Let's take some notes out of the Trump playbook, y'all.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, guys? One thing we always love to do is check out the movies, and we got our buddy Paul Preston on the line. How you doing, Paul?
Like, wow, gang, it's going good.
Everybody's doing their Shaggy impression.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
Pull it out. You know what I'm saying? That's what she said. Anyway.
How you been, brother?
Gee, you know, it sounds like Paul has a little extra sparkle in his voice.
Uh-oh.
He always has an extra sparkle in his voice.
Yeah, well, I understand there's... a new friend in town.
Oh, my.
There's a girl, Steve.
When I saw that, I thought, oh, cool.
She's very, very pretty and very sweet. She looks very, very awesome.
Corona dating.
There you go.
It can work, people.
There you go.
Just don't get the virus.
The whole, you know, walk down the Chandler bike path, which is right down the middle of Burbank here, at, you know, 7 feet. Apart, one on each side of the path, got to know each other. Did that again, but it ended in a little picnic, you know. And then third date was go out to Malibu in separate cars, pick up some seafood, pull out into a street, kind of back the cars up next to each other, pop the trunks, each of us sit in the trunk facing each other, have a little socially distanced picnic. Right.
Wow.
And we got creative, and then eventually, we broke quarantine. Did that.
Yeah, I always plan it, and then I'm like, oh, shit, we slept together.
So you kissed your pop? Oops.
Oops. He's in me. Is that what it went? Is that what it was?
Did you use the French method?
Oh, dear.
Oh, good Lord.
No comment.
How great
there.
Are we?
I just love the fact that he's giggling on the other end of the phone.
Well, let's talk about
Congratulations, Paul. I think that's really good.
Thank you.
Really
cool. I'm not going to continue that conversation, just the tone you took with that question.
But no, I'm very happy for you, buddy. You know, you and I have had a number of private conversations on this matter, and I'm just very happy that you found somebody, though.
Yeah,
we're having fun, and we're going to the movies.
All right. Well, speaking of movies, you said you wanted to talk about something special.
What I wanted to talk about was I'm gearing up to see Cobra Kai a second time because it's the best show on television. Oh. So in order to do so, I went back and I watched the original Karate Kid trilogy. So let's talk about that. First of all, in the first movie, Karate Kid, classic 80s underdog story. No surprise from the director of Rocky, an Oscar-winning underdog story. So everybody can get behind this movie. It's totally relatable. You know, if you don't know the Karate Kid, and do you know the Karate Kid, Amber? Have you seen it? You don't like Scooby-Doo, so beginning to worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
You.
Are you kidding me? I grew up. I'm 41, Paul. What the hell? I've seen all of them. All of them, yes. Many numerous times.
Again, when you say you don't like Scooby, I veer off and I don't know what to expect from you.
It's just I was always very disappointed that there were no actual ghouls and ghosts. It was very disappointing that it was all, you know, all debunked. So, yes, I grew up watching Karate Kid. And my son loves Cobra Kai, and he actually liked Cobra Kai so much, he went back with his dad and watched all of the old Karate Kids, which is pretty cool for a 13-year-old. And he just named our new puppy Cobra Kai.
For real.
Yeah, so we were in it. We're in it to win it.
Good. All right. The respect is back.
It is. Thank you.
So you begin doubting, you know, that Scooby's a Great Dane. I'm worried.
Paul,
so that's
Dallin
all. Just to check in on that. But who can't relate to the Karate Kid? You know, you get the kid as a transplant from New York, trying to make it in a new school, dealing with bullies. There's a classic story. Now it's
New Jersey, not New York. It's New Jersey.
Sorry, yes, you're correct. Oh, yeah. That is correct. East Coast.
I hate to correct Paul, but yes, Paul, New Jersey.
Thank you. And, you know, the movie's not a cinematic triumph, but anyone who brought in any, like, crazy movie tricks with the filmmaking would have taken away from the story and the characters. You just love the characters in the movie. Speaking of which, Mr. Miyagi, an all-time classic character,
yes.
One for the books. And it's actually Pat Morita's performance when you watch all three movies that is the only one that's really consistent throughout the whole trilogy in terms of his primitive character. The way he acts and behaves and the things he does are all kind of consistent throughout the whole movie. Who doesn't love the classic quotes? I mean, I'm sure you have your own. Shout them out if you do, but get him a body bag. Yeah.
Leg.
I like
wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. That's what I like.
So then... Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
You get into the sequel, and the sequel is better than I ever gave it credit for being. Like, I saw it in 1986. For some reason, I thought it was just kind of soft, or maybe I didn't appreciate how different it was from the original. But rewatching it again, it's great because it just doesn't rehash the same old ground at all. It's not, oh, another bully, another girlfriend, another more school nonsense. That movie risks by doing away with all that. It doesn't rest on anything that worked before. It tries pretty much whole new territory. Pulls up stakes and goes to Okinawa.
Paulson, this no tournament, this real life.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And that's one of the things. Also, taking the stakes from a high school bully to life and death fights.
Wow.
Yeah.
Totally new. And the fact that everything was new, I was just pretty impressed watching it this time.
I like the way it went in and how she did the tea ceremony. I thought that was
very
well done, very respectful, very humble. I really enjoy that part of the movie.
But yeah, that moment's great. You know, just the fact that the whole movie shifts to Miyagi, you know, it's the Karate Kid, but it's Miyagi who gets the letter that his father's dying. Mm-hmm. He gets the threat from the old rival. He's introduced to his old flame. You know, Daniel's around and he has his own plots, but it's really Miyagi's movie. And I thought that was interesting and a bit of a risk as well. Then there's three. First of all, it got to be comical by the third one. That's like in the first 10 minutes, all right, we got to get rid of the mom and we got to get rid of the girlfriend so Miyagi and Daniel can have adventures. You know, so mom calls, I'm with your uncle and he's dying. I'll be out of the picture for 2 hours. You know, the theme of this, I just mentioned that they took it from high school bullies to life and death. Now we return back to North Hollywood, back to Cobra Kai, back to a tournament. It doesn't feel all that fresh, and it's sort of handled in a in a ham-fisted way. I mean, the stakes are the guys are trying to get Daniel to sign up to defend his championship at the All Valley Tour. Like, the goal of the bad guys is to get him to sign a piece of paper.
Hmm.
Right.
Not exciting.
But you see, you know what? As we're talking about this, that's what's interesting about Cobra Kai is you got these three movies, and you got so much material to write around and bring back and create concepts and storylines. That's why I was telling someone last night, I think Cobra Kai will probably last 4 seasons. The next one's going to probably set up what we know is already coming. Spoiler alert. And then the 4th one will be like the final battle to, you know, pretty much win it all, if you want.
Again?
Yes, Amber.
How many times
again?
Can you win?
Yes,
hey,
win it
there's
all,
no limit on winning.
And it's going to happen in Reseda, bitch. So back
of course,
it hell up.
Of
yeah. Remember, I'm being very careful because I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah,
even if you should have seen it by now.
You know, Paul, I kind of agree with you the third one was a little weak in that essence, but, you know, because they're seeking revenge on this kid, you know, but it kind of sets up the whole bully thing, you know, a second time or whatever, and then reconnects Miyagi with Daniel at the end, though, I think, because they have a little bit of a riff themselves, but because Daniel kind of goes astray, but it does bring him back, though, to the basics. And I think that's, to me, the main theme about the whole thing.
And what kind of stones does Cobra Kai have? They folded in Karate Kid 3 into canon. Like, they didn't just dismiss it, even though it's crap. It's just like Marvel does with their least exciting movies. It's like, you didn't like Incredible Hulk? Tough. Here's William Hurt. He's going to show up in like 4 more movies. You know, like, they just and they did the same thing. They said, we don't care. Daniel's going to have misgivings about joining Cobra Kai. And there's rumors we're going to see Terry Silver. I mean, I don't know. That actor, Thomas Ian Griffith, not good. Over the top bad guy in Karate Kid 3.
Yeah.
I heard a theory that Terry could be Tori's dad, since we don't really know anything about that girl or where she came from.
Well, there's
I've seen that theory, yeah.
Yeah, and then people have also said it might be Allie's daughter, too.
Oh,
So, Paul, we just have a few more minutes, though. But so...
Let me just say, if that's the case, these guys are just like the Skywalkers. Like, there's nothing in North Hollywood that's revolve around 2 families. Anyway, go ahead.
Overall, though, your take on Cobra Kai and how these producers and the writers and everything are handling it, I mean, to me, they are definitely keeping it in tradition and know these characters extremely well, that and how they're bringing in some of the old film footage to this new series as well.
It's a must-see show. First of all, they have an entirely different tone than the previous 3 I just mentioned. It's older, it's rougher. It's a show as if it's about adults. Certainly the other ones were about a kid, you know? And what the show does magically is change your allegiance episode to episode.
Yes.
Like, when you come in, you're like, here's Johnny. He's still down and out from getting kicked in the face 30 whatever years ago. I feel so bad for him that he'll do something stupid. And you go, oh, he's still a jerk.
Yeah.
But Daniel's a jerk. He's like this douchey car salesman in the valley. And you're like, come on, guy, get your stuff together. Then he rediscovers karate. And you're like, I love Daniel. So it, like, week to week, you're going back and forth or show to show if you're
binging. I think that's the human factor.
Oh, I
in
was
it.
Say that's humanity right there.
Yeah, you know, not every bad guy is a bad guy per se. It kind of goes back to the premise of what Mr. Miyagi said, is that there are no bad students, just bad teachers. And because it kind of proves that, and you see the growth with Johnny trying to correct certain things of how he was taught with Cobra Kai, you know, and see a little bit of change in there with him. A little bit, but at times he's still the asshole that we love, you know.
Well put. And they combine that humanity with a bunch of laughs and some fun action sequences, and you get yourself a great show.
Yeah. Your predictions on season 3?
Well, I mean, I think Allie, yeah, certainly. I think they've set that up. I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you just peruse the search Cobra Kai and there's so many theories out there, from Terry Silver to how he ties in to who knows what. But I went to Comic-Con and they did talk about the show going to Okinawa. So there's that.
Oh,
yes. I had heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be exciting.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, they somehow nail it. But I first saw it I just got the it's easily bingeable. If you don't know, it's like it's half hour episodes. So when it was on YouTube, I got the week trial. I burned through that thing in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. I did the same thing.
Same thing with season two under a different email. But now you don't have to do any of that. You can just go to Netflix and crank them out. It's great viewing.
Cool. Awesome. Paul, we love you, buddy.
Thank you, Paul.
Same to you guys.
And congrats on the new gal. And we hope you get to social distance a lot less more in the days and months to come.
I think they've already broken the seal on that.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of the impression I got.
Yeah. Just want to do more for him, though.
Yeah, got to bring her here on the show.
There you go. There you go.
All right, sure. Baby. Yeah, when the time is right, yeah, of course. I mean, come on.
There you go.
Who's, I mean, we're all tired of Zoom already, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So over it.
So, yes.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Bye, Paul.
All right, take care, buddy. So true. Cobra Kai is just freaking awesome.
I'm just
the
happy
writing.
I'm vindicated in his eyes. The Scooby thing was very testy right there. Paul's like, he just never really knows about me. He's like, I don't know. He just gives me that side.
You are Cobra Kai because, you know, Paul, with Paul, he goes one way, then he likes you, then he doesn't like you.
Paul, I love you.
Yeah. She's a bitch this week.
Yeah, this week.
She's really nice.
That's what everybody thinks.
Oh, yeah. She's a lesbian. Oh, I don't know. And okay, she's a great lesbian. And okay, I'm not too sure.
I think that you're kind of reflecting your own shit right here, Sean.
I'm just being observant.
Okay.
But you know, you know what I would really love to be observant about?
What?
Some beer.
Always.
Finally.
Beer drinker. Check out the chalice on my pop top finger. Got a cooler in the back with a 12-pack ready to roll. I'm just a cold beer drinker.
Well, on the phone with us once again is our good friends and listeners, Mike and Kay for It's Beer O'Clock. How are you guys?
Great.
Hey, we're doing great. How about you all?
Doing wonderful.
Wonderful.
We were talking this morning about how every other week is another beer reason.
Yeah, open up a beer day, drink a beer day, have a beer day.
Beer in a can day.
Beer in a can day, hold a beer day.
Yes. Smell a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
We make stuff up now.
And, seriously.
You got some good ones. I'm writing them down. Keep going.
All right. Stand next to a beer.
Think about a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what? The reason we need to drink a beer today is to congratulate Zach. So good job, man.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, we'll do some toasting later for that.
Well, thank you.
So what you guys got for us today?
Well, we thought about with the recent death of RBG, maybe now would be a great time to celebrate women in brewing. It's
a
concept. Maybe a lot of people don't know it, but brewing, there's a wide world of women doing a lot of great things in the world of brewing, and they have been for a long time. So
just like your wife, Kay.
I thought I'd give it over to Kegs and Canines to talk a little bit about some of the history involved before we go into some tastings.
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead, Kay.
Okay, and let me tell you, I had so much fun researching as I got my nerd back on. So,
yay!
Women brewers were originally called brewsters, and brewing dates back to 7000 BC, which was a female occupation, which was a natural outcrop of gathering and baking and all that sort of stuff. But did you know that the Vikings only allowed women to brew their ale?
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
Women in the Viking era actually owned their own brewing equipment, unlike other things that were either community or male owned.
Well, and that, you go, girl.
And that during the Renaissance eras, images of the brewsters included frothing cauldrons, broomsticks, which were hung outside their doors to indicate the availability of their ale, cats, which were used to chase away mites, and pointy hats that they wore so they could be seen above the crown of the crowds in the marketplace.
Yes, witches. Witches and beer, baby.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
They were brewers.
They were.
Yep. It was during this period that up to 200,000 women were prosecuted as witches. And there is a good sense of speculation that many of those were the brewers.
Yeah, isn't that? That was a pretty big mistake.
What the hell were those men thinking?
Hey, if she floats, then we know she's a witch.
Oh, my God.
And it was It was during the Industrial Age that men pushed women out of brewing, and brewing became masculine because of men realized the commercial and financial gains of brewing. And so women were regulated to being barmaids, pub operators or owners, bottlers, or secretaries for brewing companies.
And once again, men fucked it up.
I'm scowling. I'm scowling over here.
Yeah. So, it gets better, Amber.
So it wasn't until about the 1960s and 70s that women started entering back into brewing.
Yeah, they
did. There are a couple of studies. There is the largest, most recent study was two in 2014, one from the Auburn University that said that 29% of brewery workers were women.
Wow.
And that of the consumers of craft beer, 32% of them were women. And that percentage is still fairly current today as a study in 2019. The only difference on that one is in 2019, in Portland, Oregon, it is 53% of the craft brew drinkers are women and only 47% are men up in Oregon there. So, and the other one that was actually kind of interesting is that in from the Stanford University, the current numbers are that 4% of all brewmasters, which are the head brewers, are females. And so it is still a smaller number of actual brewmasters are women. But there were a couple of craft breweries that were founded by women. And New Belgium were all some of the ones that you might recognize that were founded by women. And last sort of interesting info that I found was there is a female-only brewing society called Pink Boots. It started in 2007 with only 16 members. As of 2019, there were 2,400 female brewers that were part of
that. That's some amazing growth.
That's really awesome.
That's a lot of tasting.
Yeah, it is. And if you look on Instagram, you know, you guys see Instagram occasionally. There are a lot of female brewers on Instagram, and it's fun to follow them. It's fun to follow all of the brewers, whether female or not. But there's so many out there that are doing some great things, and hopefully we'll see some more breweries pop up from them. So, and speaking of that, we wanted to go ahead and kind of top this off by doing some tastings from a female-owned brewery out in our neck of the woods.
Okay.
And, so we, I don't know if you guys have heard of a Dragon's Tail Brewery. They are the first microbrewery in Montclair. They opened in 2016. They were the first all-woman-owned microbrewery in the Inland Empire. They had the first female brewmaster in the Inland Empire, and that was true for quite a long time, and I couldn't find whether it's still true or not. So they may still have the only female brewer in the IE. And in 2017, they won the Small Business of the Year for a Small Business of the Year award for the state of California.
Oh wow! Very
so,
cool.
So very good for them. We discovered them early on, right after they opened, and we have four beers if we have time to talk about very quickly that are pretty interesting.
Yeah, can you just kind of go through them real quick for us, though?
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. So the first one is a Blackberry Imperial IPA.
Oh boy.
It's very good. It was very refreshing, not a strong IPA flavor to it. It was a refreshing IPA, berry fruit forward, mild hop end, not bitter or dank, and a good summer IPA.
The second one,
really good. Definitely worth trying. The second one was a mango brown, an oatmeal brown that they make. It's a very mild brown. It was very smooth. It had a strong mango flavor to it in the front, and then it was just smooth and malty in the back with a little bit of a sweet finish.
I think when Roman gets old enough, I think he might like that one because he loves mangoes.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And just a note, those are better served at room temperature or around there. The next one was a salty dragon. It's a salted caramel porter.
Wow. Never heard of that.
Yeah, it's very good. Slightly salty at the beginning. Is there a commercial?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Keep going?
Yeah.
All right. Slightly salty, almost like a more robust gose. And then the most interesting one was called Baby Come Back. It's a golden stout with sweet potato casserole.
Wow.
Sweet. Okay, I'm not sweet potato. I'm not into sweet potatoes.
You can drink this beer.
Even if my mom puts marshmallows on them, I don't like them. I eat the marshmallows.
You might
let her eat.
You might like this one. It's a golden stout. It's a golden stout with potato casserole that really is brown sugar and vanilla and marshmallowy in flavor. You don't really taste the potatoes much. It was very good. It was excellent.
Okay, all right. You kind of
pulled me in. It was a little bit more caramely than the caramel one, and so definitely worth trying. Very light, very golden in flavor, and yes, that is a thing. So
wow.
Anyway, hopefully that wasn't too fast, but I definitely wanted to get those things.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's great, guys.
Now, will you post a link to their brewery for us? And I want to go.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I put a post up this morning on Instagram, and they are linked there, so you should be able to get there from there. If not, let me know. I'll get it to you.
Can you send me those links via Facebook? And what we'll do is we'll put your logo that we created for you guys for this segment up on our Facebook page, and then I'll add those links in.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. And maybe what we can do is send you a few links from some of the other places that we've talked about over the last few shows.
Amazing.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
And then real quick, are you guys going to be available later on today?
I mean, yeah, we're going to be around. Yeah, what's going on?
Okay. No, I need to talk to you about something off the air.
This only got personal.
Yeah, but this is going to be a good thing, though.
Yeah. Just give us a call. I got to go out and pick up my motorcycle at the shop soon after this phone call, and then we'll pretty much be free.
Are you guys going to go for a ride today?
What was that?
You guys going to go for a ride today?
Nah, I'm just going to bring it home, and then we'll plan a day when it's a little bit cooler. You know, we're in the hot days again. It's not quite as fun.
Okay.
I throw in one women beer fact? Kay, I need you to double check on this one for me, but you ready?
Yeah.
So when England, when all the white folks in Europe colonized Africa and India, they were sending the beer, right, across, and it would get very hot and it would explode. So what I was told that the female brewers said, add more yeast, make it hoppier and add more yeast so it keeps fermenting during the trip so it didn't explode. So I've heard that IPAs were created by women. So that men
I actually heard that too, and it was the increase of the hops that they did.
Exactly. Wow. So it kept fermenting the whole way instead of exploding on the trip. So women fixed men in the as they were colonizing.
Women always fix men.
They always do. I agree.
Yeah, they always do. Yeah, there ain't no surprise there. You know?
Not at all.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I hate to cut it short, but I'm glad you were able to call in and give us all that because, you know, we'd love to have you on.
Yeah, sounds great. We will talk to you when we talk to you, and look forward to hearing from you later today.
Guys,
will
have
do.
A great week.
You too, guys.
Cheers,
love you.
All.
Love you both.
Bye. Thank you.
I'm
just a cold beer drinker. Check out the callus on my pop top finger. Got a cooler in the back with a 12 pack ready to roll. I'm just a cold beer drinker.
Oh, because of them. I'm sorry, when Steve came over the other day, we stopped at BevMo and we picked up, Belgian
Beaver?
The peanut butter.
No,
we got a different one. But there was another one that I picked up, which I drank out in Temecula, and it was like a marshmallow.
Is that Smog? No, it's not Smog City, is it? No,
I can't remember which one it was.
Never mind. Anyway, Smog City's one of my favorites.
But either way, it was just so good. So both times that Steve came over to watch the game.
We're sitting
there drinking the beer.
Well, I would like to share something really fun. May I share something? You guys know that I'm like a ghost supernatural nut. Right?
Yes.
So it's National Paranormal Day.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I wanted to see if I can read this list I have of the 10 most haunted cities in the U.S.
Oh.
Yes. What do you think? I'm all about this. I've got all the equipment. I'm just waiting for COVID to end so I can go use all this ghost hunting equipment that I have. I'm so excited about this. Mm-hmm. I'm a big nut for Travel Channel and all their ghost shows. Love it. Okay.
Some of them are good, yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to do this. The 10 most haunted cities in the U.S. This is perfect to come up for Halloween, too. Number 10, Washington, D.C. The U.S. capital of Washington, D.C. has plenty of ghost stories of its own. Several presidential spirits, such as Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Jackson, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, reportedly walk the halls of the White House. I hope they poke Trump a lot. The president's, I hope they, like, you know, just throw shit at him. The President's Park, Lafayette Park, and the Octagon all have resident spirits, with the latter haunted by slaves that worked there.
Wow.
Those slaves, get those white politicians. The Omni Shoreham Hotel has sightings of a maid and her daughter that died in the hotel. It has blocked off the ghost suite for guests due to multiple paranormal experiences, unexplained events, so they don't like to stay there.
Wow.
So you can go and investigate it, but you can't stay in that room.
Wow.
Yeah, be brave.
What if you want to?
Yeah, you can if you want to. You gotta book it. Right. Like, I'll have the suite that's gonna give me nightmares and torment me all night.
There you go.
Number 9, and this does not surprise me, Portland, Oregon. So, during the Prohibition era in Portland, immigrants, sailors, and laborers were smuggled underground from bars and hotels through the Shanghai tunnels in Old Town and sold. Yeah, they'd get wasted drunk, and because it was Prohibition, so you couldn't get real alcohol.
Right.
So they were drinking, like, ethyl alcohol and all these other awful
furniture polish.
Oh my gosh. And they'd pass out and they'd be incapacitated. And they'd be like, here's one. And they'd throw them under the underground and they'd transport them while they're passed out onto these. They'd sell them to Chinamen. And I think that's racist for me to say. But anyways.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, she says it. So.
I didn't see Orientals. Anyways.
China. So
they'd put them on the. They'd sell them and they'd wake up. They'd finally recover and they're like in the middle of the ocean, like on a ship with a bunch of.
Wow.
And
by the way, where's my spleen?
Exactly. The former brothel White Eagle Cafe has records of patrons smelling smoke where there's no fire visible. It's not legal to smoke there in the restaurants. And flying objects around the establishment. Bottle caps, things, yeah. There's a great episode of Shanghai Tunnels on Travel Channel's Portals to Hell if you want to go watch it. And they also do one here in this city. Number 8, San Francisco, California. San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Maybe the tech hub nowadays, but back in the 1800s, it was a dangerous place, again, for Chinese immigrants who came to chase their American dreams. Chinatown's Cameron House was burned down with people inside of it.
Oh, damn.
And they often appear in tourist photographs. So if you could take a picture,
jeez,
there'll be like a little, funky thing.
Well, I would think, too, because of the 1906 earthquake, too.
Exactly.
I think. Yeah.
Alcatraz has a long history of unexplained happenings as well. Visitors of the prison have heard cell doors closing and long-gone inmates whispering to them in their ears as they're going on
tours. Well, that's because when you take a tour, you have these little headsets on you. Yeah, exactly.
This is a common occurrence with ghost hunting. All of a sudden, you'll hear like a whisper in your ear.
Well, like I said, it's because of those headphone tours.
No. Even if you're... Oh, my God. Oh. Never mind. Wow. But anyways, number 7.
It was the Lincoln thing at Disney. The previous one, he'd come in and go, somebody'd whisper in your ear, and you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Hey, Lincoln, duck.
Okay. Bruce. Number 7, Galveston, Texas. Galveston has had pirates.
Really?
Hurricane. Well, it's a port town in Texas, and it's a port for the Gulf. The Gulf, you know, the Gulf of Mexico. I had to picture a map real quick.
Pirates,
hurricanes, murders, and more, and it's very, very, very long history. The paranormal activity is off the charts in several spots around the city.
Oh, my.
The Bishop's Palace survived a deadly 1900 hurricane, a source of many of the city's ghosts, and now the building is haunted by its worried owner.
Huh.
I guess it died there. The Ashton Villa Mansion, also in Galveston, has several ghost residents, thanks to the Civil War-era hospital roots. And also the Hotel Galvez and the Tremont Hotel. What? I don't know what you're doing. Anyways, you distracted me.
He's laughing at me with
all
the music.
These hotels in Galveston that were destroyed during all these terrible things all have ghosts.
I just love the music that Zach's playing right now.
Frightening sounds echo through the halls.
Oh, that's nice. Number 6, this is a great one. Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a former... heavy slave in Civil War.
Civil War, yeah.
Era. Yeah. So the Civil War and the city's long history with pirates also have made it a breeding ground for ghosts. Ghosts breeding. That's interesting. Strange events, apparitions, residual energy, downtown.
Running around.
How do you think we got Casper?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, baby.
And he's
ghost.
A friendly ghost.
He is. Yeah.
Downtown Charleston's Battery Carriage House Inn has many reports of ghosts standing over its guests' beds while they are sleeping.
Okay, that's freaking.
That is
freaky.
Yeah, ghost watching you sleep is a little creepy. What if it gets in bed with next to you? That's a common thing, too. If, like, a ghost just snuggles up next to you.
Well, yeah, I've heard that people have gotten or experienced ghost sex.
Yeah,
and stuff,
oh,
and
yeah, they snuggle up in bed. I've seen, like, videos of this where someone's sleeping and all of a sudden, the sheets, like, rise.
Yeah.
Can you pay money to go watch?
That's... I mean, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. You can find it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's already on your phone somewhere, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see your Google history. Also, okay, so, in Charleston, Civil War era soldiers around plantations and slaves, all those kind of things we said. So, I want to go. I've never been to Charleston and done all that, so I definitely want to go. Number five, Chicago, Illinois. Okay. So
I lived there for a while.
Of course, the gangsters, Al Capone, Chicago's Prohibition era mafia. Excuse me, please. So the era mafia city has plenty of ghosts lurking around the city. Multiple crime scenes.
Yeah.
And hiding spots where murders were committed. Like, ghosts are just hanging out.
So. That makes sense. That totally makes sense. Yeah.
Nowadays, visitors can experience screams, apparitions, or machine gun sounds at Clark and Dickens. I just love that name.
A lot of action there.
So, and then also the Congress Plaza Hotel. You can go and experience an Al Capone apparition that happens very often.
Really?
Lots of people have pictures of it and stuff, yeah.
You're talking to me?
Number four.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
You're talking to me?
I don't think that's
number four, Gettysburg.
Who's he talking to?
Gettysburg.
Dress.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Pennsylvania. So it has that nearly, it says that nearly 40 miles of Gettysburg battlefields are thought to be very haunted. Hmm. And visitors have spotted many of the more than 50,000 soldiers that have perished walking the grounds, appearing in photos,
Jesus,
and whispering in your ears, and people even claim to have seen Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
I wish I was in Dixie.
There you go. Well, this is not Dixie.
It's not off the charts like Galveston, though.
Oh my gosh, there we go. Yeah, I didn't see that.
I didn't know there was a chart of how haunted something should be.
I've
never seen that.
I know, we need to see some data on this. So, Robert E. Lee, yes, the haunted Leitner Farmhouse bed and breakfast. Yes. What else? Oh, this is no surprise. Number three, Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Salem, infamous for the 1600s witch trials, has built its reputation as a witch city. Actually, it's called Witch City, USA.
And they were actually brewers.
They probably were. We will not get into that right now. Millers
and
Coopers and
Adams,
Weisers.
The city is said to be haunted by the 19 executed witches. And around the town, you'll see them as apparitions, and you'll hear whispers again. Whispering is a huge thing. Ghosts like to whisper. And let's see, the historic house of the Seven Gables Mansion. And the Howard Street Cemetery are both places to go.
Wait, did you say House of the Seven Gables?
It's called House of the Seven Gables Mansion.
I didn't know that actually existed.
That's a real thing.
I didn't know that. Wow.
What's that from?
It's a book.
It's a book, and there's a movie in the House of the Seven Gables.
Okay, it sounds very creepy here, definitely. Number two, no surprise, I've been there, I have done this, it is very, very real. New Orleans. Some New Orleans ghosts. So they say that on Halloween, the line between the dead and the living is thinner and thinner every year. In New Orleans, you're not far from the dead, from the dead, as the city cemeteries hang above ground all year long. I've done this. I've gone to cemetery tours and experienced some really cool stuff.
Wow.
I even did a vampire hunt.
Really?
Yielded nothing. I did not find Brad Pitt, nor did I find Lestat. I was very, very bummed out.
So no Tom Cruise.
Nope, none of them. So I mean, look at New Orleans. We've got slavery. We've got pirates from colonial time. We've got voodoo, all the wars that were fought there, and most recently, Hurricane Katrina has yielded lots of ghosts and apparitions of people who died in Hurricane Katrina.
Mostly up on that overpass.
Oh my gosh.
Walk on the freeway.
And then also, I haven't been able to go here, but I really would love to go. Marie Laveau's house. She was a very evil slave owner who tortured her slaves, performed surgery on them, did all kinds of terrible things. So her house is crazy haunted.
Probably made him eat sweet
potatoes.
Oh, wait,
no, that's Marie Laveau was never mind, moving on. I think that was the voodoo lady, but anyways, the house that she lived in. Yeah, so the cemeteries, where am I at? Number one, the top most haunted city. I have to argue about this with New Orleans being the top city, actually. Savannah, Georgia.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I jumped the gun.
No, I was too late.
Savannah, Georgia.
Wait. What is it?
There we go. Savannah, Georgia.
Got it.
There. It has cemented its reputation as a haunted city. Visit the Mercer Williams House to see the history behind many of the on-site murders of dead ghosts. Yes, thank you. Savannah's ghosts come from colonial and Civil War times, from slaves murdered to murdered soldiers. A large part of the city sits on Native American burial grounds.
Oh, wow.
So it's got some...
So you got a mixture of everything.
Got some vibrations. Yeah. I would say I'm surprised that Nashville isn't on this list because, man, I lived in Nashville for years and I experienced some weird shit. And also...
Well, there's some weird people in Nashville, so...
Well, I mean...
Well, I'm surprised.
I know, I've gone through that, too.
There's some
too.
Weird people in this room.
I'm surprised Dana Point isn't on that list, then.
Oh, from, Oh, what
when we were hanging out down
oh
there.
Oh, my gosh. The, oh, stop it. Hush.
She was we're talking, not going to talk she about... She was talking to ghosts in the bathroom.
Mute Steve's mic right now. We're not going to talk about it. Nashville's also a major Indian burial ground.
Well, that's cool.
Civil War battles and plantations and... That's the list.
Well, I've got a couple of things for you guys here.
Tell us.
That'd be interesting. I came across this article and I couldn't believe some of the prices on these things here. And okay. I'm going, man, if you have them somewhere, you find them somewhere, pick it up and make sure it's in great condition. These are the most valuable comic books ever.
Yep. Don't know. I'm gonna take a pee break. No, okay. I'm kidding.
So here we go, and I'll go through these fairly quickly here. Number 10, and they listed the top 100, but we're just going to do the first the top 10, though. Number 10 is the first Wonder Woman cover.
Oh, wow.
From Sensational Comics. It was released January of 1942. It was the second appearance of Wonder Woman, but the first time she was on the cover. The minimum value on this is $5,000. The record sale is $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awful lot of money. Number 9.
Buy a house.
The first Flash appearance in Flash Comics number 1. Came out in 1940. It has the origin and first appearance of the original Flash, which is Jay Garrick. It also has Hawkman in it. And minimum value is $9,000. And once again, the record sale on this is $450,000.
Good Lord.
Amazing. You can buy a house with that. My house is worth that much right now.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Comic book house.
Yeah.
Comic
book house. Yeah, tough decision there. Number 8, the first ever Marvel comic book from Marvel Comics number 1.
I know what it is.
Released October 1939. It's the origin and first appearance of the Human Torch and the Angel. Minimum value is $20,000.
Really?
Car? Comic book. Car? Comic book. Yeah.
Hmm.
Verified is worth $227,000.
There we go.
But the record sale, which was unverified, was $720,000.
That's two of your house.
Yeah, exactly. Number 7, first Green Lantern appearance in All-American Comics number 16 came out on July of 1940. It's the origin and first appearance of the Green Lantern. The very first one, which was Alan Scott. Minimum value is $10,000.
Yeah.
Verified is worth $215,000.
Okay.
Record sale, $825,000.
Green Lantern. See, DC's better.
Dude, yeah. And I still like the one that Ryan Reynolds did. I thought it was pretty good.
I did, too.
I don't know what they gave him the crap about it for.
Yeah, but it's funny in Deadpool when they make fun of it.
Yeah. Number 6, first Cap appearance, Captain America Comics number 1, March 1941. It's his origin and first appearance of Captain America. Minimum value is $25,000. Record sale, $915,000.
Mm-hmm.
Awful lot of money. Here we go. Number 5. Now we're getting to my territory here.
Oh boy. All right. Me too.
The first solo Batman comic, Batman number one, April 1940, first appearance of the Joker and Catwoman. Minimum value is $15,000. Verified is $567,000. Record sale was $915,000.
God, even if you have a crappy version of it, it's still worth a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Number four was the first Wonder Woman appearance in All-Star Comics. Number eight, it came out in December of 1941. It is her origin and first appearance. Minimum value was $10,000. Record sale, $936,000.
That's a huge... These are all have very large... low to high.
It's yeah.
Like, it's like, well, the condition of comic books.
Yeah, and that's just the condition of it.
Difference.
And one big one celebrity who is really big and who has invested in comics is Nicolas Cage. He has a tremendous...
Really? Huh.
Yes, a tremendous amount of original first-run comics. So, that are worth in the millions.
Good for him.
Yeah. Okay, that was number four. Number three, the first solo Superman comic, Superman number one, came out in June 1939. Minimum value was $25,000. It sold for $456,000. However, the record sale, $1.5 million.
Oh, man. You could buy four of your houses.
What?
What kind of math did you take?
Never mind. I don't know. The kind that's getting me through college. Leave me alone.
There you go. Okay. The second, number two, the first appearance of the Batman.
The Batman.
In Detective Comics number 27, came out in May of 1939. Minimum value, $100,000.
Minimum?
Minimum value, $100,000. Verified has sold for $2.1 million. Record sale, $2.8 million.
There are people that have no food in the world.
Sell a comic book. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Buy a small country.
But can you imagine, though? I mean...
I don't...
Would you keep it or would you sell it?
I would hold on to
it. Life is strange. Humanity is strange.
I'd hold on to it for about 10 years, have it go up, and then sell it, you know?
And it's one of those things where you can just frame it and just look and go, I know you got my back if I need you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys, here we go. The world record.
You can cure cancer, but I'm going to keep you right here. I'm going to keep you in this little sleeve.
All right, here we go. The world record number one. The first appearance of Superman in Action Comics, number one, came out in 1938. It is his origin and first appearance as Superman. Minimum value, $125,000.
Oh, God. My gosh.
eBay sale.
No.
$3.2 million.
Oh, what were the fees on that? Yeah. I just want to know, like, what did eBay collect?
The record sale was $1 million more, $4.2 million for that comic book.
Who the hell has $3 million to spend on eBay? Does your PayPal account even hold that much?
It can.
What?
I think all of your televangelists could afford that.
Oh, yeah.
Please help me, Lord Jesus Christ. I need a little baby Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I need you to get me that little comic book there I've always wanted. I love Superman. Superman's like my God, just like you're like my God, and I want to be on my God right now. So I need to raise me $104.2 million.
Jesus is Lord. Lord is
right. Maybe they keep it in their, like, 10th personal jet.
See, you don't need my help, Steve.
Right in the cockpit by their privately paid pilot. Sorry, I'm making it up now, but I think it's true.
Never know. All right. One other thing I got for you guys, too, I thought would be kind of cool was it's National One-Hit Wonders Day. And, of course, you know, there's so many things. And when you do a list like this, of course, it always kind of says, I don't know. What about this song? What about that song? It always brings up some little bit of controversy. This is done by VH1.
Okay.
So they did the top 100. We're going to just do the top 10. So this one came out in 1983. 99 red balloons floating in the summer sky. Panic bell, that's red alert. There's something here from somewhere else. The war machine springs to life. Opens up one eager eye. Focusing on the sky. So, okay, you know, it's a good one.
I don't know why I hate this song.
It's annoying. It's kind of annoying.
It just seems stupid to me. It's annoying.
You can't stop listening to it, though.
But
like, it's like a...
And what's, it's the... I kind of like the was it the Dutch version or whatever when she's
German
or German?
Luftballons.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of cool too. So
it's like a potato chip you don't really want to eat, but you can't.
Here's
stop
one
it.
That was very annoying back in 1991 to the point that even Weird Al Yankovic did a parody of this one.
Oh boy.
Rico. I love this one.
Suave. Of course, Weird Al did Taco Grande.
Are you serious?
Yes,
I've never
he did.
Heard that one.
Taco Grande was his parody on that
never
one.
Never heard either, and I'm glad.
That Rico Suave thing was a huge
it
hit.
I got a funny video. Story to tell you afterwards about that.
Video,
about
on
that.
MTV, that video was huge,
yeah,
too.
And he was a good-looking guy, too.
Yeah, he was. That's,
he was.
Why, that's the only reason why.
So that was Geraldo. All right. 1985... It's going to take, this is one of the best songs, I think, great one-hit wonder, and it won. If it wasn't for the video, this song would not even be on the charts.
Okay. Oh, God, yeah.
Me.
Me. Take me,
me.
Let's see, if you can do this. Yeah. So, of course, that was Aha would take on me. All right, here we go.
Aha.
I got mixed feelings about this moron here, but this is what he did in 1990.
This is my roller skating jam when I was a kid.
Jim Carrey did a great impression of him in Living
yes!
Color.
Yes, he did.
Oh, so funny.
If you get a chance, look up Jim Carrey, Ice Ice Baby. Or Jim Carrey Vanilla Ice impression. It is so good.
Oh, my gosh.
And my favorite part is when he's, like, dancing or trying to do the Rain Man or whatever, and his shoe
flies off.
Oh, my
it
gosh.
Is so good.
Didn't he have a kid with Madonna, or did they just date?
I don't know.
Something like that.
I don't know.
I should Google this.
I doubt it.
Sounds right.
No, they did.
All right. 2000, 20 years ago.
Okay. 20 years ago. Oh
20
my gosh.
Years ago. It had to do with our canine friends.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Let the dogs out!
God, kill me now.
Let the dogs out! Let the dogs out!
I don't know, but put them back in the kennel. That's all
somebody,
I have to say.
That's always a wedding song. Ugh, like a wedding.
It's somebody's song. I don't know.
At the reception, they always play the. Oh God.
Yeah, and actually, that is like the out of all the top 10, that is like the most recent one that hit the top 10.
Really?
Everything else is older.
Okay.
Here we go. This one goes, matter of fact, Weird Al Yankovic did a parody on this one as well. This goes back to 1982.
Oh, yeah.
Amber gets so into it.
Well, I love the cheerleaders dancing around.
Yeah.
So
I love the cheerleaders, too.
I wish I did not know all of that.
And she has been riding on that wave for the last 40 years.
Of course she has. It was a catchy ass song. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That was huge good. Hit. The video was fantastic. It's
But, you know, back in 1991, though, these men were way too sexy.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I said Fred.
For my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy. It hurts.
Ouch.
But I am too sexy for Milan.
who what record label was like, I said Fred, that's a great name. Yeah, let's just roll with that one.
Yeah. All right, also this group here back in 1982 told us to come on.
I like the song.
Yeah. And if you watch the video, you'll see them in overalls.
Oh, yeah. Banjos and guitars, barefoot.
I love that little lick.
I know, me
That's
too.
That's such
me
a
too.
Cool little lick.
Classic.
All right, here we go. That was number three. Number two takes us back to 1981.
Oh, yeah.
Who is this?
This is called Soft Cell. What is it?
Soft Cell.
I love Soft Cell.
Like
Soft Cell, New Order.
They were in a straight jacket and they put them in a soft cell.
Yeah. They actually had another one, which was Where Did Our Love Go? That was actually the flip side to
the B side of that one.
And that actually took him on a good trip, so it's not really a one-hit wonder then. Yeah, so. But of course, back in 1993, if you want to do any kind of dancing.
I'm getting ready.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Okay, play it.
All right. Here we go. Oh, my God. She's actually doing it.
Jeez.
Headphones and everything with tea in hand.
Yeah, wait.
I didn't know which one it was going to be, but I knew I would know the fucking dance.
Shaking her tushy and everything.
It could have been that, what's that one?
When Gina and I were bandits at Knott's Berry Farm, during the summers, they would have live entertainment every night in the Calico Square.
Yeah, I remember
those
days, too.
And
yeah.
Dusty invariably always played this, and everybody danced.
They told us as bands,
go ahead and join in. You know, so we had to it. It was like, oh.
There is nothing more funnier than working at Knott's Berry Farm, and here you are supposed to be this rough, tough cowboy. You know, you got a gun slinging on you.
Doing the Macarena in front of everybody.
Or any other kind of line dancing.
And of course, they'd always go, oh, and look at the bandits. The bandits are joining in. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And turn around and look at us.
And there we are all dancing or whatever. Oh, God, so fun.
You know what? I thought it was going to be a little bit of a little bit.
There were some good ones on the list.
You could have literally, you said 1993. I was like, it could be like 20 songs.
Yeah.
I was ready for any dance.
Mambo number five.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good job. Good job, Rachel.
I remember that one very well.
Great, great songs. You know, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, you can disagree, you can agree, whatever, but those are the top number one hits. And, again, this was done by...
That's it?
Yeah, by VH1.
No Pina Colada?
No. Oh, yeah, that's surprising.
Oh, again, my. I thought that was like...
Well, remember, we only did the top 10, though, so there were 100.
Why would that not be in the top 10?
It's very subjective.
I would like to know the Billboard numbers on all of this.
And maybe that's why VH1 went through this, because, I mean, even look at what Tommy Two Tone's Jenny.
What's interesting about all of these is they all have a great hit video. So yes. I wonder if that's tied to the VH1 thing, because, you know, VH1 was...
Yeah, could be.
Yep.
Could be.
Toss it in the trash.
Oh, got that one in.
Done. Toss it.
Could be.
I got that one in.
Swish.
Yeah, baby.
Everyone, get your papers to the next section, please, in the class.
Oh, I just wanted to throw in a little hello there, Delmarva Peninsula and area around Richmond, Virginia, where today it's cloudy and rainy and 75 degrees.
What would we do without Steve's weather updates? I actually love them.
Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. The humidity is 96%.
Ew.
Oh.
I do miss that smell, though, in the East Coast.
Yes, sometimes
when it's balmy out.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Zach was going to do something. Right. Zach's going to do something real quick, Steve, and then tell us what the weather is one more time in Delmarva, okay?
Okay, it's...
All right, wait.
Stormwatch.
I love this!
And now, in Delmarva Peninsula, it's 75 degrees, cloudy, rainy, and the humidity is 96%!
Bring your towel.
And this has been Stormwatch.
Stormwatch.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, now there's something we're gonna do, and I know everybody's gonna go, "Oh no, not again!"
Okay.
But you know, we celebrate so many national days here on your weekly dose. You know, it's like National Pajama Day or National Get New Underwear Day, which is always for me.
Or I'm sick of National Days Day. That's
well,
mine.
Exactly. But, you know, one of the things I think we can all agree on is the days that celebrate life. Like today, National Whale Day.
National Whale Day. All right. Well, Steve, I could not agree more with you.
Well,
you know how big I am, me, on the environment and nature.
That's true.
My thing.
That's why I thought, we should give one of the most famous whales that ever was a call and get them on the phone so we can wish him a happy National Whale Day.
Okay.
So, Zach, would you make that call and that number I gave you for our special guest for today?
Here, you got the number? Here, give it to me.
Oh, I like the dialing music.
Thank you.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, hold on. Here we
go. It's like we're in a really small elevator right now.
My phone, my phone's very old. Hold on.
I like it.
Must be busy.
Hello?
Hi, Shamu.
Who's this?
Shamu, this is Steve from your Weekly Dose podcast, and Amber is here
with me,
God.
Too. Oh, my God. Hi, Shamu.
I'm sorry, but I'm not in my holding tank right now. I'm actually doing a show right now. But if you can, want, you can leave me a message at the sound of the whale noise, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we should leave a message. I should say whale. We should leave a message. So, okay. Hey, Shamu. This is Steve from...
Hey, I'm just kidding with you, Steve. I'm really here.
Oh, my gosh!
What's going on, guys? My trainer told me that you guys are going to be going to call me, so what's going on?
Ah, what a scamp. Well, you know, we found out that today was National Whale Day, and we thought, what better mammal to call than one of the most famous orcas in the United States and wish you a happy whale day.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. That's very sweet of you.
Yes, and Shamu, I was wondering, while we have you on the phone, could we ask you just a few questions about whales and orcas?
Oh, sure. Ask me anything. But just to let you guys know, you guys don't have to call me Shamu.
What? Oh, really? Why not? That is your name.
Well, Shamu is just my stage name.
Wait, you have a stage name?
Yeah, my real name's Mike.
Oh, my gosh!
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the real Shamu died back in 1971.
Oh, no.
You know, then Dave took over for about 10 years, and then after Dave it was Mitch, and then Sam, and then Ron, and then Susan, and then finally I took over 12 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. Especially, I mean, to find out that an orca named Susan was Shamu?
Well, you know, you humans can't even tell us apart, so I mean, no harm, no foul.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, Amber, do you have any questions for Mike?
Yeah, so, okay, I know that orcas, like, swim in pods, but how do you guys choose who your, like, pod leader is?
Oh, that's easy. See, we have a matriarch, you know, which means that whoever's the biggest, maddest, most obnoxious bitch in the group is, you know, becomes our pod leader.
I like it.
Are you saying that a female is chosen to be your pod leader?
Yeah, it's kind of like having a Mexican grandmother, but without the chocolate being thrown at you all the time.
How do you know about the chocolate?
Dude, come on, man. I live in San Diego, right next to the border. Hello.
Oh,
That makes sense. Well, makes sense.
You know, I know through the years there have been some times that, sadly, a killer whale has attacked a trainer.
Dude, the word killer is in our name. I mean, come on. You know, we have teeth and we go after sea lions. Anybody home, McFly? Come on. Hello. You know, but I think the whale that you're talking about, Steve, is this one guy named Tequilicum. That dude was just whacked.
Well, Shamu, what makes you say that?
Well, I mean, look, he was taken away from his mom when he was 2. So that right there is just wrong. But then he was raised by 2 of the meanest ladies I know. I mean, we're talking biker mamas here. And then he was put in a small ISO tank, so it was only natural that he would end up snapping like Donald Trump at a press conference when he gets caught lying. You know what I mean? You know, plus he never took his meds.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, one time I saw a video of some orcas, and they ate a pelican during the show.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Boy, that pelican was a pest. I mean, always landing in our pool without even asking. Hey, asswipe, the Pacific Ocean is right over there. Go hunting for your own food. I'm not going to let no pelican upstage me during my show. I earned the right to be hand-fed. Dirty pelican can't even do any tricks or anything.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, Shamu...
It's Mike.
Oh, okay, sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, many people feel that keeping you in captivity and making you perform tricks in a show is it's very cruel, and that you should be set free and put back in the ocean, and that we shouldn't, you know, have whales in captivity. What's your take on that?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's sharks in that ocean! Oh. I mean, big sharks! I mean, like, you know, you're gonna need a bigger boat kind of a shark, you know? Plus, I mean, there's jellyfish and stingrays. We know those things will kill you. I mean, it went after that crocodile guy from Australia. You know, screw that. Put me back in the ocean? Pfft, have you lost your mind?
So you don't agree with those who think you should be set free?
Look, normally we orcas live about an average of 30 years for the guys, all right? Look, you stay single, you stay away from the fatty fish and exercise, sure, we can live up to 50, 60 years in the wild. But those females, oh, God, boy, gee. Look, they live an average of 46 years. And we all know how women are, you know. Don't eat this. Why are you eating that seal so late at night? You know, you already had 100 pounds of mackerel. You know, and then in the wild, they can live up to 80 or 90 years old. Sure, some of us can live a little longer in the wild, but who the hell wants to hear that old woman constantly yelling in their blowhole? Not me, mister. No way. 3 meals a day and then at night I'm after all the shows you get to dine with me? Look, while you have your dinner, I'm having my dessert. Sure, I'll do a few tricks for the easy life, and besides, I heard you human females get paid for tricks that you do, so let's not call the kettle black here, okay?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, okay, let's just change the subject here a little bit then. And let's talk about some of the most famous whales in history since it's National Whale Day. Maybe you can tell us some of the inside information about the other whales, like some dirt. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with the fictional Moby Dick.
Oh, good one.
What fiction? He was a real whale. Moby was a great guy. You know, that book was actually in a biography.
What? I had no idea.
Oh, sure. It's a shame that they called him Dick. I mean, just because he was a sperm whale doesn't mean you should call him Dick. But I must say that Moby Dick does sound better than Moby Horowitz. After all, who would read a book about a whale named Moby Horowitz?
Sorry. I was thinking about Horowitz still. So, okay, what about...
Dad or Dick, one of the two.
Yes, what about Old Tom?
Oh, my great-grandfather used to run with Old Tom. Yeah, helping the Australian whalers catch those damn baleen whales. My great-grandpa told me a lot of stories about Old Tom helping and protecting crew members who fell overboard from the sharks, you know, protected from the sharks and everything. Yeah, of course, now his bones are on display in a museum in Australia.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how he died?
Remember I told you about those old ladies and how they used to nag you to death?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
There you go. Yeah. He got so tired of nagging that he beached himself at age 45. See, one of the reasons why whales beach themselves. It's not some big mystery of why we do this. We know why. It's to get away from those old broads. That's why.
Okay, here, last one. Free Willy.
Oh, good.
Free Willy. His name was Kyoko. And what an asshole. I mean, you know, look, he started off as a Shamu in San Antonio. Then he moved to Florida because he wanted to be a big star and everything or whatever. Next thing you know, we got this new press agent, Marty, who greased a few palms and boom, Free Willy. You know, what a joke he was. He didn't even try and do half the tricks we do. But, you know, he did become a star.
Well, you know, they did make 4 movies.
Well, yeah, that's because he got Marty, his press agent, and his manager, Bernie. Look, like I said, you know, his fame rose after those two guys. And, you know, look, who isn't going to like a story about a kid and an orca befriending each other? I mean, look, it worked for that little piece of shit flipper on that TV show, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, but Kyoko was smart. You know, he made it. And sure, that first movie went well. And he said as long as it did well, that they would do 3 more movies. You know, look, that was a smart business. He was an asshole, but smart business.
Okay, well, Shamu, I mean, Mike, sorry about that. So thank you so much for talking to us and giving us some insight onto whales today.
Well, I hope you guys, you know, you guys are welcome. And remember to come on down to San Diego and see my shows once we're open, you know, because we're so close. But I must say, I do miss seeing you humans, especially those little kids there, because I love splashing them and getting them all wet. So that way their parents have to go buy some souvenir clothes from SeaWorld, you know. And shit, we've been doing that count for you guys from Shamu and you humans for the last 50 years. I can't believe that you guys are so fond for that. You guys never learn. It's just so good. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you again for taking our call. And once again, happy Whale Day to you.
Oh, thank you, guys. And, hey, I was wondering something.
What's that?
Sticks tickets?
Well, we'll see what we can do for you.
All right.
Stay
okay,
in
cool.
line.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks
Goodbye.
For calling.
Bye. Right.
Bye,
Mike.
Bye. What a friendly whale.
Well, it's Shamu, you know. I mean, hey. Well,
he's on all those antidepressants, you know.
He's a whale of a guy.
He is. He's a whopper.
Whale of a tail of a lope. That was amazing. That's like the biggest star I've ever talked to.
Well, you know, it's easy. He's a friendly guy.
He is.
Should we play the game?
Good old Mike.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Boys and girls, the amazing game show that's spreading across the nation and spreading faster than COVID-19. What? Too soon?
No.
Quiz me!
Oh.
Quiz you.
He had a...
I was on Steve's vibe right there.
He had a good thing going there for a second, then he kind of just...
Is okay. It was funny.
Question number one. Yay! Heisenberg is Steve. Your clue. Steve?
Breaking Bad.
That is correct. Wow. Is the name of the main character.
I was like, there has to be more to this.
In which...
I was going to say Hitler's nephew. I don't know.
I was wrong. Oh, boy. That's yeah. not... Okay.
Question number two.
That's Hitler's son. Sorry.
I love the fact she goes, that's Hitler's son, but that does it in, you know...
Miyagi, yes. Hitler's son. Like, you know, son...
Yeah, but the way the way you say it though, it was like like a,
I don't know,
like
I went
Mr.
all
Miyagi.
Over the place.
Yeah,
his,
I did.
His theme song was "I Gotta Be Me."
Which Celtic pagan festival is the celebration of Halloween associated with?
Oh shoot! Oh, I forget the name of it.
Oops. Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Day of the Dead.
No.
Amber.
Amber.
All Hallows Eve.
Sean.
No, Sean.
The Living Dead.
What?
Why not,
the,
right?
The, isn't it something about the equinox or the position? I guess not.
Oh, my gosh.
The answer is Samhain.
Oh, now we remember.
I drink the beer all the time, though.
Sam who?
Baby. Suck it!
Question number three. Which of the following dishes... And I don't mean the ones that you wash and put in the dishwasher.
Okay.
It's a combination, Sean, of eggs, lemon juice, and broth.
Amber.
Amber.
Hollandaise.
Damn it. It's actually the weirdest name I've ever heard. It is a dish primarily found in Europe and the Middle East.
Eggs, lemon juice, and broth.
And it's heated up until it thickens.
That's Hollandaise is just the yolk.
That is. You're right. That says something different.
Yeah.
Eggs.
I don't know on that one.
Don't know that name.
Well, I can't even pronounce it. Avgolemeno. Sean, lean over and look at this.
That's really stupid. I don't like this question. Do another one.
Good. Wow. Question number four. God.
Avgolemeno.
I'm just being honest.
Are you? Which president was the first to receive a Secret Service code name?
Ooh,
was called General.
Sean. Eisenhower.
You're pretty close.
Amber. Nixon.
Amber's furthest away.
Steve. Oh shoot.
There's a time limit on this.
The General.
Oh my God. I can't think of his name.
Oh my God is incorrect.
Amber.
Yeah.
Truman.
That is correct.
I people are growing in that neighborhood, so I get it.
Even though he was only a captain in World War One, he was called General.
At least he wasn't a bone spur draft dodger.
Correct. Question. What is it that prevents the Earth's atmosphere from drifting away into space?
Steve. The ozone layer.
Oh, wow. That's what I was going to say.
What? Oh, no.
Say that one more time.
Yeah.
Let's give Christopher a chance. What is it that prevents the Earth's atmosphere from drifting away into space?
Gravity?
That is right.
There you go.
Very good.
I was going to guess really that easy, anyway, but thanks.
Were you? Were you going to guess question number six? Blondie.
Yes.
No, you're more like straw blondie.
Okay. Pale ale.
Amber.
Pale, yeah. Amber's
Deborah Harry.
No. Not that kind of blondie. Of The Good and Bad and the Ugly.
Oh, Steve.
Oh. Steve.
The Good.
What?
No, Sean.
What the hell is that?
Sean. The Ugly.
Chris. You want a name, don't
blondie.
You?
Blondie. Blondie from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
I didn't finish the question.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Is also known by what name?
Sean. The Man with No Name.
That is correct.
What?
Due to never officially receiving one throughout the Dollars trilogy.
Yeah. That was Clint Eastwood's character, The Man with No Name.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I on, number six?
Okay,
seven.
Seven. What coffee brand's logo shows a drop of coffee leaving the cup?
Amber. Maxwell Cap.
That is correct, Gary.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys.
Nerd.
Question number 10.
Now you know how our conversations go.
Which of the following fruit actually comes from an herb?
Fruit comes from an herb.
And not the kind Steve likes and Zach likes. Mostly Zach.
Ha.
Wait, did you say ha?
Ha is incorrect, ha, Chris.
Amber.
Oh, Amber?
Hops.
No, I said what fruit is
fruit?
From an
herb.
Well,
okay. Right.
So,
Steve. Strawberry.
It's a very specific color as well.
Oh, man.
Very specific color?
Yes.
Fruit.
Yes.
Sean. Orange?
Give you a hint, but it might give it away. It is one of the three primary colors.
Chris. Blueberry.
Goes great in cereal.
Steve. Banana.
That is correct.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What?
The plant which produces bananas are actually herbs, not from trees, since they are not composed of wood. Question number 9.
Wow, I didn't know that.
They are a big leafy weird thing.
I didn't know we could learn things in this game.
We do, all the time.
It's weird, right?
We do.
The Beatles released their first UK single, Love Me Do, in what year?
Sean.
Whoa. 1964.
No.
Steve.
1963.
God, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Now
Chris?
Really?
Chris?
Let's call Quentin.
1965.
Amber, you're on deck. That should have helped you. 3, 4, and 5?
I said call Quentin. I wasn't listening to them.
Call Quentin.
I didn't listen to any of you guys. I was already doing something else. I was like, I'm hungry.
Steve.
You guys are like spouting off numbers, and I'm like, I'm kind of hungry right now.
I was 65, though.
No, you didn't even say 65.
Yes, I did.
You said
67, 68, 69, 70, 71. I don't know.
What's the number?
It's not 62, is it?
That is right.
Oh, right, there we go. Down. Okay.
That early?
I wasn't. I was thinking between 63 and 62, and I was trying to remember when I heard it. And, yeah, so I knew it was one of those.
Love me. Love. All
right.
Final question.
Yes.
Yeah. What does the X in Xmas stand for?
Steve.
Sean.
Steve.
Christ.
Christ! Okay.
And we can just call that a day.
There we go.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now.
I like saying, instead of saying Christians, I like saying Extians.
There you go.
Extians.
I'm a triple Extian.
Oh my gosh. I don't think those two go together.
Want to bet?
No.
Pope says you got to do it.
No. Oh my gosh.
All right, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. Our website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, find us on at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You find me, Steve, on Facebook at, it's simply Steve Silva, and on Twitter at SilvaLining69.
Oh, and you can find me on the Facebooks and the Instagrams at my name, just Amber Ash McCary.
And I'm on Instagram at Zombie Mel Gibson.
The two of you sometimes just crack me up.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I love it.
Two Twinkies in a pod.
Two Twinkies with a whole lot of filling.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty much it right there.
We're going to have fun. We're going to shop till we drop and get Zach looking all spiff and some new threads.
Go. She talked me into it.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to follow me, Sean, I changed mine around. It's simply Sean R. Unplugged.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Franchi.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. We will catch you next week. So be good to each other. Have a good one.
Stay safe, world. From you now.
Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you, pretending you've got a slither. You're not fooling me, cause I can't see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.